I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am super thrilled to have our next guest here, Laureen Aseo, who is the founder and co-CEO of Fresh and Lean. And such an interesting story. She actually co-founded the company with her brother Thomas in 2010 when she was only 18 years old. Super, super incredible. Fresh and Lean is an organic preheat and eat meal delivery service. What started as a friend and family packing meals in Tupperware business has grown significantly over the years. And I'm super, super excited to hear all about her journey, how she's seen being a co-CEO and dealing in a startup world. And she's incredibly determined. She's a mission-driven entrepreneur with just a super incredible story. So without further ado, welcome, Laureen.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So how do you describe Fresh and Lean to your friends when they say, what is Fresh and Lean?
I would say in simple words, Fresh and Lean is an organic meal delivery service, and it is really focused on quality ingredients, fresh ingredients, and we make incredible meals and ship them directly to your door.
So the idea for the company, I was doing some research and I mean, super, super incredible about the personal story, but can you share a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So it started, like you mentioned, when I was 18 years old. I was going to school at the time for apparel manufacturing and business management. So before jumping into this business, I had aspirations of starting a sustainable line of clothing and was doing that. And at that time, we got some pretty scary news about my father's health. And, you know, originally my parents immigrated here from Europe. And so the food quality in Europe compared to the food quality here in the U.S., is so vastly different that through the 20 years or 25 years that they were here and eating the processed foods and a lot of the ingredients that quite frankly are restricted in Europe but are allowed to be put in our food here, my father gained a lot of weight and unfortunately had health issues. So at that time, the doctor told him, look, you have to do something super drastic or we might not see you very soon. It might result in a heart attack or something of that nature. And what we did was we kind of band together and I started making meals for him. He went strictly vegan and through eating better food, whole grains, organic vegetables, he was able to reverse his health issues, lose 85 pounds and really get back on the right track. And once we saw and really what I saw, what good nutrition was able to do for him, I thought to myself, this is not only incredible and such like a simple solution, like we don't have the secret sauce, right? It's just going back to the basics. And how can we do this for so many millions of Americans that are in the same predicament, right? People don't have a lot of education on food, at least they didn't 12 years ago, whereas now we're super fortunate to be in an environment where people actually care what they put in their bodies. And so back then I just thought, look, there's a huge opportunity to help a lot of people. And that's really what I wanted to do. And that's what I focused on over the last almost 12 years now. And it's been really incredible. So I started in my one bedroom apartment on the weekends because I was still going to school, making meals in Tupperware containers for friends and people who, were in my parents' Pilates class and things like that. And once I graduated from the program that I was doing for fashion, there was like a fork in the road. Mm-hmm. Do I continue down this path of this food company that I kind of started in my apartment, or do I follow a career in fashion? And ultimately, I decided to take the journey of starting this food company and really trying to impact as many lives as possible.
I love it. So it's one thing for you to, you know, have these recipes, have friends of your family who wanting to buy it. But how in the world did you actually take what you were doing in your one bedroom apartment and turn it into a business?
Well, so it was very, very difficult for many, many years. I would say that, you know, one of the things that I think kind of sets us apart from the others is that we've never taken any outside capital. And so everything that we had to do was through organic growth. And a lot of that at the beginning was like guerrilla style marketing. So we would do a lot of presentations. We would go try to make partnerships with gyms. We would go to doctor's offices. We would do all of these different things, just trying to put the word out. I would say like on the marketing side, one thing that we really focused on was SEO and how do we, you know, do more with less. Mm-hmm. And then just really try to get the word out. And then as we, you know, started getting a little bit bigger, we always reinvested it into the company. And that side of things is really on Thomas. So, you know, Thomas, when he joined, really kind of took the marketing into his own hands and, you know, doing the SEO, which is not something that I was very familiar with. My big focus was how to scale the business, how to make operations smooth, how to manufacture not only for 10 people, but for 10,000 people, and so on, and sourcing and recipe creation, delivery driver, all of those things at the beginning. And so, you know, marketing and really growing the brand and getting the word out there was something that I needed help with. And that's where, you know, Thomas came along and really complimented me in that way.
Was he in consumer products or what was he doing?
Prior, he was, you know, working for a consumer product company, just trying to figure out like where he fit in the career world. Mm-hmm. And so I think for him, when he, obviously it was very family driven, right? So when he saw the impact that it had on our father and the impact that it could have on so many people, and also it just kind of made sense for him to, at that point in his career, to kind of make that shift. It just made sense for him to try to come help.
Was he working in a tech company or did he know, like, how did you mentioned SEO? I mean,
yeah, it was like an e-com company.
Okay.
And they sold goods.
Yeah.
So it was like an e-com company that sold goods and products. And he had, you know, he was working side by side with the owner of that company and was able to learn from him. And I think that just like I did, I didn't come from a big manufacturing background. I had really no experience in manufacturing whatsoever. And we just learned as we went. And so I think a lot of that is true for Thomas as well and what he had to learn going through marketing.
That's awesome. So it was just the two of you initially, just trying to figure this out. How many SKUs did you have in the first iteration?
So originally, Fresh and Lean was a vegan company. And so we only had the vegan menu. So we would have 10 entrees, we would have breakfast items, but they were all vegan. And then about 2 years after, we realized that the market, you know, for vegan is much smaller, especially 12 years ago. You know, 12 years ago, the idea of mailing people food was very foreign. I remember people barely knew how to pronounce quinoa.
Yeah.
And so it was just like a funny thing that we had to deal with. And so with that being said, about a year after we launched, maybe 2 years after we launched, we decided to include meat product, mm-hmm. Which was a big game changer because obviously it appealed to more of the masses. But at the beginning, it was all vegan, mostly entrees. So there was like 15 SKUs.
Interesting. And so were you hearing from consumers that they really like to see meat on the menu as well?
Yes.
And a combination of the two of them. So, so interesting. And you had mentioned like gyms and doctor's offices. Is that where you started? Like, did you go just direct to consumer initially, or were mm-hmm. you actually trying to get it into places, retail places or gyms or things like
no, that? No, we've always focused on direct to consumer. That's really been our bread and butter. So we've done a little bit of retail here and there, but direct to consumer just seemed like a market that needed to be filled. And so the first customers I ever got was at a Tupperware party that we hosted. And it was like 25 people, and out of 25 people, 20 of them signed up for the program. And so, you know, still to this day, I have the little paper forms that they filled out and so on. So it's really interesting to see. But that's how it originally started was through that way. And our goal was to really grow the direct-to-consumer space.
So, so interesting. So you mentioned like you changed the menu from vegan to adding some meats. Knowing what you know today as an entrepreneur, were there any, you know, is there one thing if you had it to do over again, you would do differently?
There's so much, to be honest with you. But I would say, you know, looking back now, I think packaging iteration has been huge.
Uh-huh.
You know, going from the Tupperware container to trying to go to something that looked a little bit more professional than a Tupperware container. So it's like a takeout container. And then figuring out, you know, I had this idea one time of how can I prolong the shelf life a little bit? Okay, I'm going to put it in a vacuum sealed bag, which was an absolute nightmare. I spent hours for like 150 meals trying to vacuum seal them. Then the top would break. So I would take it off and I was, you know, doing that until 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Just trying to figure out
wow.
these different ways to do the packaging. And then from there, we were able to purchase a machine that, you know, actually did a very professional looking heat seal and those kind of things. So I think a lot of what we learned came from learning from our mistakes and then needing to grow from them and then make it better. Even on the shipping, I mean, we used to pack the meals with like the peanut, like mm-hmm. the stuffing peanuts so that they wouldn't move around, which was like not sustainable in any way. Also, it was a lot of labor. And when the people got their packages, they were like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, it's meals with a bunch of peanuts. And then, you know, learning that you have to be thoughtful about how you ship to high altitude places, because some of our packages would go to Colorado and they would pop. And then we had to change our settings on the machine. So just throughout the years, like no matter what we were dealing with and no matter what kind of issue or problem I was trying to solve, it's always a learning experience. And so obviously, if I knew what I know today, back then, I would have skipped like 10 packaging iterations to yeah. get to where we are today, which is a much more professional looking packaging. It upholds the quality tenfold. It keeps the food beautiful and so on. And then, you know, a more sustainable liner in the package, a stronger Corget box. Like there's just so much, and that's just on packaging alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like then you dive into manufacturing and production, and that's, you know, a whole other can of worms.
Were you always going national from the beginning? Cause you're based in Southern California, right?
We are. And we actually just, got a building on the East Coast that we're going to be opening here in December. So we'll have an East and West Coast presence. But historically, we have only been on the West Coast. And yes, to answer your question, it was very important for me from the beginning to be national. I wanted to figure out a way. Again, the mission and the ethos of the company was, you know, to try to help as many people as possible. And the people who, in my opinion, needed it the most are the people who don't have access. Like here in Orange County or Los Angeles, we have access to so much on the food and nutrition side. And a lot of people in, you know, middle America, even on the East Coast, it's a different situation. You go to those grocery stores and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was so important. And again, it's not the case now. Now there's so much progression in the food space, which is beautiful. But 12 years ago, it was the case. And so it was important for me to have a national presence so that we could reach as many people as possible from the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there is not as much organic in some states throughout the U.S., but they do have access to more and more of that type of food. But I still think having prepared meals is probably not as plentiful in many of those cities versus the coast, too. So
very true.
Really, really interesting. So how have you gotten the word out about Fresh and Lean? And like how, I mean, obviously SEO, but also I feel like people need to try the product. And you talked about Tupperware parties in the early days, but how did you get the word out about it?
It was a lot through friends and family and a lot through trying to just like show our faces, right? Show the brand, show the faces, try to get people to try the food as much as possible. It was just one of those things where we had to just keep going. It's not something that we do now. You know, now we are so fortunate to have a great marketing team. We were able to finally, a couple of years ago, do TV ads. We were able to grow our social media. We were able to just have a fantastic team. But in the beginning, it was really, really leaning on SEO and leaning on getting, like you said, the product in people's hands, and doing a lot of those like tasting parties, I guess you would call them.
So for SEO, I totally agree with you. We've done that at Hint as well. And it's definitely, SEO has been critical. How would you describe it to people who are not, maybe people who are listening who are not really that familiar with SEO? What do you think is kind of the key thing that they need to do? Because you need to have stories, right? About, in order for SEO to kind of work.
Yeah, I would say what worked for us is a lot of blog posts. You know, on the website, keywords were really important. Figuring out, you know, what are the keywords out there that people are searching the most? How do you rank on those keywords? Really getting content out there. So like the content that you put on your website is so important, because if you're going after certain keywords, people need to be able to find it on your page, right? Or when you type it in on the browser, it needs to be able to pop up where you are. So we focused a lot on writing blogs, getting contributors on the homepage, using very specific language, really understanding and honing in on what keywords really made sense in our industry. Is it vegan meal delivery? Is it ready to eat foods? Is it, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like there's just so many of them. And again, like I said, that's not my strong point.
Yeah.
But I just know that I personally had to lean on people who knew better than me. But that's a lot of what we did, was just making sure that our content and blog post on the website had external links, had, you know, just trying to connect as much as possible with the outside through our content.
And basically that helped you just show up in like organic search, right? So you had it.
Exactly.
You were doing ads as well, but just for somebody who's not as familiar with why SEO might be really, really helpful. So you explained it great. So I can imagine not having any experience in the food industry. Maybe there were a few people who were like, we don't know what Laureen's doing. I mean, she's the naysayers. I call them the doubters out there. What was some of the worst advice that you got from some people that you just had to sort of, I don't know, brush it off and just figure out, okay, how do I move forward?
Well, I think a big one is you're just not going to make it. I think that, you know, the food industry historically has been very male led. You know, a lot of the big manufacturing companies like Nestle, they're just, again, historically very male led. They're very, very old, successful companies. And, you know, being 18 years old, being a female, trying to make it into this, you know, food world that really has a backbone of manufacturing, had a lot of people coming in and being like, first of all, we don't understand what you're doing. You're not going to make it. And the way that you're doing it, we don't believe in. And so a lot of it was to say, look, I can't let that drag me down. I believe in what I'm doing, which is the most important thing to me. And no one else is doing what I'm doing. And so it's really easy for anybody to come in, whether it's in my position or in anybody's position. I find that people, which is really sad, would rather be negative than positive towards others. You know, it's easy to come in and try to slam what people are doing or try to throw them off of their course or whatever, you know, the situation is. And I had to learn early on that I couldn't let it affect me. At first, it was really difficult, even in meetings, if, you know, I had male counterparts sitting next to me, like my brother or whoever. And if a question needed to be asked, they would address it to Thomas, even though it was for me. And so, you know, I had to learn to speak up for myself and to really put all the crap aside and say, look, what it comes down to is the knowledge of what I can and can't do. And I think that my work speaks for itself. You know, the proof is in the pudding at the end of the day. And so, you know, as far as naysayers are concerned, I think there's a lot of them. And especially in our industry, in the beginning, like your product isn't going to hold up. Your packaging isn't good. The way that you manufacture isn't going to work. Yet we've been able to do it profitably for 12 years and we grow year over year. Yeah, it was very difficult though. And I think that being a woman that was young didn't help.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think hopefully you've been able to see some of those people since those meetings in early days. I had a very similar situations along the way. And it's always really fun because the story seems to change. Like, we always knew you were going to make it and everything's
of course.
Right. And it's fun to see those people who have who sit in my memory as being the naysayers and the doubters, for sure. So Fresh and Lean started in 2010, and you've now founded a company and helped scale a company. What are some of the big things that you've learned along the way? Maybe it's operations. Maybe you talked about packaging. It's interesting. You mentioned about when you're shipping to certain places and you've got to treat it differently before it goes. I actually just interviewed the founder of Sprinkles Cupcakes, and she told this really funny story that wasn't funny to her at the time. But when they got to Arizona, I mean, it's such, you know, a hot climate, and even different from Southern California, where they had to have totally different packaging when I went out the door, because the cupcakes were just done.
Melting.
They were just melting. Sure. Yeah. And they're all about, oh, put it on the counter and it'll be fine for a couple of days. Well, it wasn't. And so, you know, she really learned the hard way and had to figure out different types of packaging and different wrappings in order to do that. Anyway, it was really interesting. So how about you, though? Anything else like that?
I mean, I think that what it kind of resonates in that story is, like I was saying, like packages exploding and getting to people and them saying like, look, I took one out and like the whole bottom is covered in like, you know, the meal, like another meal, because it exploded in transit. And so just learning how to really make a strong package. And, you know, one of the things that we still deal with today is we would love to offer, you know, the opportunity to peel the film back very easily. And I think that's a big thing on the user experience that we'd like to do. Hmm. But my biggest thing is like, we don't want to compromise convenience for quality. And a peelable seal is a less perfect seal. So our food is, you know, vacuum packed in a tray, the film, you have to like cut it and things like that. But doing that was a lesson from the past, which was, if we don't have a perfect seal with very good integrity, your meals will pop in transit, which is not at all what we want to do. That's a terrible customer experience.
Totally.
And so there's, you know, little things like that that we learn every day and still today. And I would say a big thing for me is, you know, being surrounded by the people that I'm surrounded with, whether it's, you know, the people on the floor in fulfillment, actually packing the products, or the people in the kitchen making the food. I think the greatest lesson that I've learned has come from them, has come from, you know, understanding how to deal with different people from different walks of life, how to communicate properly with those people, how to build a team. That's so important, because I wouldn't be where I am today. We wouldn't be able to ship the meals that we ship if it wasn't for our employees. And they're so important. And through that, creating, you know, a second chance hiring program, which is also super important to me, to give people opportunities to better their lives, which again, just to me, all goes in this really important mission of the company, and just to help. And I think that that doesn't just stop at our customers that we're feeding, but it also is internal work as well. So there's so many things that I've learned over the last 12 years. I've grown tremendously as a person as well. And all of those things are just from lessons that not only were taught through the fails of the business and having to pick ourselves back up and just say, look, failing is not an option. How are we going to make this work? How are we going to be creative to find a solution? And also just the people that you meet along the way, which are just so impactful, at least to me in my journey.
I love that. That is such a great description. And it sounds like you're, you know, willing to learn along the way. And also, you know, you're just super curious about everything. Yeah. And, you know, you didn't have all the answers, but you were willing to roll up your sleeves, especially when you saw a problem, and figure out how to fix it. That's probably my most favorite thing about being an entrepreneur. I always describe it as a puzzle, and that you are building the puzzle without the picture. That's how I, you know, describe it to people. You don't, every day you probably wake up and you think you're going to be doing one thing, and then you end up doing another thing most days. But it's a lot of fun, and you feel like, you know, sometimes you're doing things that nobody else has done in the industry. What is the thing that you've enjoyed most about being an entrepreneur?
There's so much. I feel like, you know, you focus on all the hardships, but there's also so much positive. I think being able to dictate my own journey personally has been huge. I think also creating something that, again, has impact and has meaning I feel really, really good about waking up every single day knowing that I'm doing the right thing for my life, and that is in helping others and hopefully empowering others. I get to talk to a lot of my employees, and I think that, again, I wake up every day and I feel very thankful that I'm able to, you know, provide jobs and things like that. So I think being an entrepreneur has so many different facets, but when you build a company, you know, a lot goes with it and there's a lot of support that's needed. And so you're not only creating something that's being sold for consumption potentially, but in building that, you're also creating a lot on the back end that to me is really meaningful. All the people who take so much pride and work so hard on the back end of everything that we do is also makes me feel really good. I know I want to continue to give people opportunity to work and hopefully do what they love and continue to create a fantastic product that we give to our customers and grow our brand. And I think all of that is the really special part about being an entrepreneur.
No, I love it. It's such a great answer. So super congrats on everything. I'm so inspired by you, proud of you. And I really think
you're so sweet.
That you've done an amazing job. What do you hope others will learn from your journey?
I think that the biggest thing to me would be to just follow what you love, do what you love. I think there's a lot of people that go into business to make a lot of money, which I think is the wrong mindset. I think if you go into business and you start a company to make a lot of money, it'll probably fail and you'll be really disappointed. And I think that if you do what you love and you follow your heart and you don't forget why you started or where you came from, I think that's what really builds successful businesses because it's a really good mindset to be in. And so, you know, for me, I hope that people look at the journey that we've been on and just seen the growth. And seeing the struggle, but seeing the perseverance. And I think that that's really important is to persevere and really believe in your mission, really believe in what you're doing.
You definitely have shown us that it's not based on age when you're starting a company. It's based on an idea and your ability to go and execute that is so key and having the right partner. I love that you're working with your brother and you've been able to build something that you all really are helping people in so many ways. So thank you again. It was terrific for me, certainly, to hear your story. And this conversation is really, really great. So
thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thanks all for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And I want to thank all of our guests and our sponsors. And finally, our listeners. Keep the great comments coming in. And one final plug, if you have not read or listened to my book, Undaunted, please do so. You will hear all about my journey, including founding, scaling, and building the company that I founded, Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks everyone for listening and goodbye for now. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.